And our scriptural text on this morning is going to come from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. James, the chapter is 4, and the verses are 13 through 15. There the Bible reads, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." The headline of many newspapers and the topic of discussion over the past week has been the helicopter that crashed into the Calabasas Mountains just north of Los Angeles, killing all 9 passengers on board, one of which was the retired NBA superstar named Kobe Bryant. And I have seen many comments and people bringing up how Kobe wasn't the only one who died on the plane crash, and he shouldn't be the only one talked about on the grand scale in which he is being talked about. And we have to understand that we are all people. We have to understand that our time will come. We will all breathe our last breath. And we have to understand also that the death of some is sometimes more discussed than the death of others. You know, when I die, I can't expect it to be a topic on Fox News. I can't expect my death to be on the cover of the Paducah Sun. I can't even expect my death to be on the cover of the Arizona Daily Star, which is the newspaper in Tucson where I spent 28 years of my life. And the reason that I can't expect these things is because I'm reasonable. Who really knows me? Aside from brethren, my family, and friends, who even knows that I exist? If I knew 5,000 people, if I had 5,000 friends, I don't, but if I did, if I had 5,000 friends, do you know what percentage of the world's population that would be? 0.0007%. One could say statistically that I don't even exist, but God knows me. God says that while I was in my mother's womb, He formed me. Kobe Bryant was known and adored by millions of people. He was in the public eye for over 20 years. And just like the deaths of other celebrities, attention is going to be focused on them. But a question that I want us to think about is, what should a man prefer? To be unknown to the world, but known to God? Or to be known to the world and unknown to God? There's one thing that this tragedy makes much clearer to us, and that is going to be the focus of our lesson on this morning. So with these things in mind, this morning we will be studying the subject, death does not discriminate. Death does not discriminate. And there are three things that we have to understand because death does not discriminate. The first of which is this: because death does not discriminate, we should appreciate the living. Because death does not discriminate, we should appreciate the living. Who here can confirm the events of tomorrow? Will we wake up? Will our loved ones wake up? Will the sun rise? Will the Lord come again? Will we be around to see all of tomorrow? Will things just continue as they have day after day? And we have to also understand that the confidence with which we answer these questions does not make that answer correct. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6. 2 Peter, the chapter is 3, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6. There the Bible reads, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair." Excuse me, that's 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 6. Excuse me, 2 Peter 3 verses 3 through 6. "Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that existed then was diluted with water and perished. Peter warns of scoffers who will come mocking Christ because he had yet to come, and they make confident assumptions that since everything has continued as it is, everything will continue as it's been. And in verses 5 and 6, Peter reminds us that during the days of the flood, most did not see this event coming. And because they failed to see this event coming, they were surprised by its arrival. No one here can confirm the events of tomorrow. We can't even confirm the events of today. The Super Bowl is going to happen this afternoon into this evening. Who here knows who's going to win that game? I mean, we may have an idea, we may have a speculation, but no one knows for sure, because we cannot see into the future. We cannot confirm the events in the future. And because we will all stand before the Lord one day, it is in our soul's best interest to be ready to do so. Because death can come at any moment, we should show our appreciation to those we have while we have them. You know, I was watching an interview of the husbands of one of the ladies that perished in that helicopter crash. And they asked him, "What was the last thing that you said to your wife?" And he said, "See you tonight. And I love you." And he broke down in tears and he said, "I hope I said I love you." How much do we appreciate our brethren? How much do we appreciate our brothers and sisters in Christ? How much do we appreciate our family? We could say that we appreciate them tremendously, but what do our actions or our lack of actions really show? How do we treat one another? At any time, we could be gone. At any time, the individual sitting next to us could be gone. How are we going to treat them while we have them in our presence? We understand that we are all dying, but even the death of those who are diagnosed with terminal illnesses can come as a surprise. Jesus says that we must be willing to lose our lives for His sake in order to find true life, according to Matthew chapter 16, and the verse is 25. If we can lose our life at any moment, then we must appreciate the time that God has not only granted to us, but granted to those around us in this life. Since death does not discriminate, we must tell others about Christ while we have the opportunity to do so. As previously stated, we can lose our life at any moment. Those around us can lose their life at any moment. But what if one loses their life without obeying the gospel of Christ? If we wish to have eternal life, then we must be seen as righteous in the Lord's eyes, according to Matthew, the chapter is 25 and the verse is 46. And to be considered righteous is to have obeyed the gospel of Christ and to go on living for Christ. This is the message that the apostles in the first century and the first century Christians went throughout proclaiming in the world around them. And this is a message that we must proclaim with all urgency. We must understand that we must proclaim this message, that the lost can be numbered among the saved. Ladies and gentlemen, we should appreciate the living and the time that God has blessed us with. And that brings us to our second point on this morning. Not only should we appreciate the living, because death does not discriminate, we should anticipate leaving. Because death does not discriminate, we should anticipate leaving. In our scriptural text, James records for us that our lives are but a vapor or a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. A pot of boiling water creates a vapor that appears only for a moment and then quickly disappears out of sight. The message that we should take from this scripture recorded for us is a person is here today and gone tomorrow. We must understand and accept the brevity of this life. We all understand that living forever has never been in the cards for us. That death is sure to come. And that if we accept God and the plan that He has in place for us, a plan that He has prepared before the foundation of the world, we can go through this life as the sojourners and the exiles that God expects us to be, according to 1 Peter, the chapter is 2, and the verse is 11. Ladies and gentlemen, we anticipate leaving by getting our affairs in order. And getting our affairs in order means spiritual affairs most of all. What have we, to this point in our lives, done for the Lord? I just want us to think about that. What have we done for the Lord to this point in our lives? Great. Now, what are we doing for the Lord? If we are going to be prepared to leave this world, then we must make sure that our souls are ready to go. Are we a child of God? If not, then we need to become one by obeying the gospel. If we are a child of God, are we living like a child of God? Have we confessed our sins, that we may be forgiven of those sins, as children of God are commanded to do according to 1 John, the chapter is 1, and the verse is 9. Have we truly repented of our sins? Sins in thought, sins in word, sins in action. We have to consider all of these. Are our thoughts where God wants our thoughts to be? Are our words what God wants our words to be? Are our actions what God wants our actions to be? Are we bearing fruit in keeping with repentance, or are we simply reporting our sins with no intention of stopping? These are things that we must consider. Again, in our Bible class, we talked about if we live so many years as a faithful Christian, but at the last minute fell away, what good did it do us? What good does it do us to go to hell through the church? We need to be faithful to God. We need to live the lives that God wants us to live. We need to repent and we need to make right, confess to Christ, confess to God the sins that we have committed, and we need to make right the sins that we have committed and choose to never do them again. These are questions that we must ask and we must properly take care of, that we may be prepared at all times for an exit from this life that is sure to come. On that day, last Sunday, when those 9 people lost their lives, do we think that they thought that that was going to be the case? Do we think they thought that they were getting on that flight, on that helicopter to die? We don't know when we are going to die. We don't know. We could be headed home and a drunk driver hit us on the way home and lose our life because of someone else's error. We don't know when we are going to leave this life, but we do know that God expects us at all times to be prepared. James also reveals to us the attitude we should have in regard to planning for the future. In our scriptural text, he says, if the Lord wills, that's what we read in verse 15 of our scriptural text. And that must always be our attitude towards any future plans. In our anticipation to leave this life, we must put God in all of our plans. Whatever the Lord's will is for us, and whatever the Lord's will is not for us, we must accept, knowing that God Himself is guiding us towards glory. And as long as we stay on the path that He has paved, our departure from this life and entrance into the next life will be better than we could ever imagine. No matter how great God's description of heaven is in the Scriptures, we have to understand that it's going to be that much better. And no matter how bad God's description is of hell, we also have to understand that it's going to be that much worse. Where we will spend eternity is based on the decisions and the choices we make here and now. And death does not discriminate, so we should appreciate the living. Death does not discriminate, so we should anticipate leaving. And our third and final point on this morning is this. Since death does not discriminate, we should show adoration to the Lord. Since death does not discriminate, we must show adoration to the Lord. We should show adoration to the Lord because of what He came to do. The fact that Jesus was willing to die shows us that death truly shows no favoritism. Death does not discriminate. Christ didn't have to die. Christ chose to die. Look at Philippians, the chapter is 2, and the verse is 8. Philippians 2, and the verse is 8. There the Bible reads, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Christ humbled himself by being so obedient, he allowed himself to be executed on the cross. You know, when we think about the death of anyone, death really does bring sadness. But the death of Christ is on another level entirely. Why is it sad? What is so sad about the death of Christ is that he didn't deserve to die. What's sad about the death of Christ is that he died, gave up his life in order to save us. What's sad about the death of Christ is that although he died to save the world, so many in the world will fail to acknowledge or properly respond to that death. God the Father gave up his Son. And because God the Father gave up his Son, he not only got his Son back, but he made a way where there was no way for anyone to become a child of his. So we understand that because death does not discriminate, we should show adoration to the Lord. But how do we do that? How do we show adoration to the Lord? Well, when we think about adoration, to show adoration is to pay honor as to a divine being, to worship and to pay respect. We show adoration to our God by honoring him as the God of our lives, meaning that we will not just acknowledge him as the creator, but we will acknowledge him as the creator whom we will love, whom we will respect, and whom we will worship. We show our love to God by doing what he has commanded us to do. According to John, the chapter is 14 and the verse is 15. We show our respect to God by striving to glorify him in whatever we do, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and the verse is 31. We worship God by doing so as he has commanded us, according to John chapter 4 and the verses 24, where he says, whoever worships me must worship in spirit and in truth. And what he means by that is in the right attitude, with the right attitude and in the right way. So many people in the world don't worship God in spirit and in truth. They come to God however they want to come to him. They don't have their mind in the right place. They don't have their attitude in the right place when it comes to worshiping God. These are all things that we must consider. These are all things that we must do in order to properly show adoration to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, again, death does not discriminate. And because this is a fact, we have to understand that we are expected to appreciate the living, to anticipate leaving, and most of all, show the Lord the adoration he deserves. So where do you stand on this morning? Although death is coming, so is life for those who are saved. When we think about people who have passed on so many times, people want to say, oh, well, this person is in torment and this person is in paradise. Well, we don't have a heaven or hell to put anyone in. God is a just God and God is a merciful God. And no one is going to be in heaven that shouldn't be there. And no one is going to be in hell that shouldn't be there, because God does not make mistakes. And all we have is the scriptures to guide us to heaven. We have the scriptures that tell us plain and clear how to have a relationship with God and plain and clear how to make heaven our home. If you are here this morning and you are not a Christian, you have to become one. God wants you to become one. We want you to become a Christian. And you start by hearing God's word, which you have done on this morning. Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to turn away from the evil in your life that has distracted you, the evil in your life that has put you on this path to eternal destruction? Are you willing to leave that and to turn and focus your life on God and allow yourself to be guided by him? And are you willing to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? If you are willing to do all of those things, all that remains is being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and rising up to walk in newness of life. That's what you must do to become a Christian. And if you are a Christian and you have fallen away, or you're a Christian and you have gotten sidetracked by the ways of this world, understand that God wants you to make things right. Your brothers and sisters in Christ want you to make things right. That you can encourage and edify us, and that we can also encourage and edify you. And if that's the case, then you have to pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. You have to repent and turn away from the evil in your life and turn back to God. And ask for prayers on your behalf from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, death does not discriminate. We have the opportunity now to either become a child of God, or we have the opportunity now to make ourselves right with God. Wherever you are on this morning, we ask that you make a wise-hearted decision while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.